Good morning and welcome to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH. My name is Mary Scanlon. I'm your host this morning, and I am going to introduce you to LaToya Tyson. She is the Associate Director of Prevention at AIDS Connecticut. Now, ACT is a statewide coalition of organizations that provide services to people living with HIV and AIDS in Connecticut. And you guys, your member agencies, improve the lives of people impacted by HIV through care, supportive services, housing, advocacy, as well as prevention. You have a lot underneath that umbrella. And you guys have a full range of supportive services that are necessary to maximize the quality of life and that hopefully no new HIV infections in Connecticut. That you've got a tall bill of things that you guys do over there.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Now, explain to people, you know, exactly what you guys do if they've never heard of you before, AIDS Connecticut.
Sure. So we have, like you said, a plethora of different services. And so when I refer to them, I talk about them a lot about two specific arms. So we have our direct services, which includes our treatment and care. So those are services directly for people that are infected with HIV. That is inclusive of medical case management. That is including connecting them with medical care services, primary care providers, ID infectious disease. We also do housing assistance for people infected with HIV. We also have nutrition for them. We have a wellness center. We also do dietary things. So we have like a med adherence
cover
nurse.
Cover everything.
We cover the whole person as an individual. And then the second arm is our indirect services, because it's not specific only to HIV positive people. So that's the prevention arm that I work with. And we do lots of presentations. We do a lot of education in the community. We also have our syringe exchange program that includes, you know, distributing clean needles and works, which is inclusive of all encompassing things like testing. So we do testing, not just on the van, but, you know, in the office as well. We test for HIV and hep C.
When you say on the van,
yes,
you're out and about doing
yes.
this? Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes, you know, the mountain needs to go to Muhammad,
exactly.
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, the clients are not always going to come into a space. So one of our models is harm reduction, which is, one, reducing people's harm, not telling them what they should not be doing, mm-hmm. which is, you know, what typically
they know.
Happens. They know. But we also know that we have to go to where people are, because that is how we're going to be able to affect the most change.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually have physical vans that go out to do the exchanges.
Now, I'm going to assume that you guys aren't, you don't have, is it a nondescript vehicle?
Of course.
Because there's things that, you know,
yes.
there's a certain, you know, stigma that's attached to it. And,
yes.
you know, maybe that's the same deal why people don't go into buildings. Because then what if, you know, my friend Bill sees me walking in and then he knows too.
Exactly.
And it's not always something that you're blasting out to the world.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're very cognizant of that. We also do OD prevention. So for clients that do come to the van, we provide them with naloxone, which is the drug that can help reverse an overdose.
Which you might have heard on the news as Narcan, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, whether anyone wants to admit it or not, I mean, this is a real deal happening in Connecticut. Opioid abuse and overdose and mm-hmm. the fentanyl that's, you know, killing people.
Yes.
It's murdering people in the state of Connecticut. We have a real crisis going on.
Yes.
And, you know, if you're not beating the problem with finding a way to overcome addiction, at least we can save lives.
Exactly.
With the naloxone and the right. Narcan. So I think that everybody should be equipped with it. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because it could be, you know, with fentanyl, sometimes you need two doses of that, too, because the fentanyl is so strong.
And what we have actually been learning from some of our clients is that you need even more than two doses in some instances. Yeah.
Because it's amazing to me, you know, coming from someone who's not, I don't do drugs, but, you know, it defies me that people who sell drugs or are selling these drugs are putting something in that's killing the people who are their business, essentially.
Right.
So it doesn't make any sense to me. But what does make sense is that if people are addicted and are suffering and are are using drugs, that we have a way to try and save them. Every life counts.
Exactly.
So I really applaud you guys for that. And this is so much, like, do you ever rest? Because there's so much, like, there's so much work going on in Connecticut. And I mean,
and still a lot to be done.
And there's still so much more to be done.
Exactly.
And you think about AIDS and HIV and when we all first learned about it and the stigma attached to it and the evolution of where it's come and how far we've come. And we've still got a lot farther to go because, you know, there's infection rates that are still out there. I'm not sure what our data is here in Connecticut, but.
Well, I can be very specific about that.
Okay.
So, and the stats I'm going to give you now are literally just for 2006. That doesn't include anything prior to that.
Okay.
So just a couple of quick numbers to kind of get you thinking about what this actually looks like, you know, in the big
picture. In our state.
In here in Connecticut. So the estimated population of folks in Connecticut right now for 2018 is around 3.59 million.
Okay.
Okay.
So just shy of four.
Just shy of four. Of that, 9% of the population are Black Americans, 14 are Hispanic.
Okay.
And 77 are white.
Okay.
Just in Connecticut.
77, 14, 9. Gotcha.
Yes. And so that's kind of. And, of course, we have other numbers with, you know, multi-races.
I thought you were
going to
hit
that,
me with the infection numbers first. So, okay,
right.
So not, this is just the standard population of Connecticut, our makeup.
Right. Well, okay. I'm giving you that first to give you some perspective of how these numbers are so disproportionate to the population of folks living here. So just in 2016, we have 212 new cases in men of HIV, 57 in female.
Okay.
The way that's broken down is 41% of them are Black.
Wow.
31 are Hispanic. And 26 are white.
Wow. Okay.
So if you think of that from
percentage-wise,
like the disproportionate numbers. And these are just new infections of 2016.
For 1 year.
For 1 year.
365 days. This is happening. And that's just here in Connecticut.
Just here in Connecticut, nowhere else. So when you, you know, look at it from that perspective, HIV is still very, very much alive. It's still very much a pandemic.
Yes.
And it's still really something that we need to still continue looking at.
Now, and that's just people who know.
Those are just new diagnoses.
Yeah, people who know, because there's a whole population of people who are out there right now presently who don't even know if they are their status.
Exactly.
They've never been tested. They have no idea, so they don't get counted into the full equation of things. So
exactly. And the truth of the matter is, you know, when people hear, you know, listen or hear about HIV, you know, some people get the stigma around it still exists. Mm-hmm. Some people get really nervous about that. But the truth is we all have an HIV status. Mm. All of us.
Okay.
It's either positive or it's negative.
Yes.
So we all have one.
Okay.
It's just a matter of whether or not we know what our status is.
I remember my first test, how terrifying it was.
Yes.
And then, you know, even still, you always think about it because I don't know if I'm misinformed about what the entire world knows about HIV. Can you have a false negative? Is it something that can lay dormant? Can it pop up later? And like, I want to make sure people know this stuff.
Right. There are such things as false negatives, and there are such things as false positives.
Oh, see, good to know.
So to really get you to understand what the difference is, a false negative for us, when people say that, typically is someone who has gotten infected and has not developed enough antibodies to show up
when they test for it. So would that happen? Like, okay, so for instance, someone who finds out that they've been exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're in a relationship with someone, they find out they've been exposed or they end up testing positive, and then they take a test and it comes back negative. That's not to say that they're in the clear, right?
Not necessarily. So when someone tests that way, we always recommend, we talk about a window period. The window period is the time frame from their potential risk exposure to the time that the antibodies show up in the actual test that we do. So when we do testing, we do a lot of the counseling piece around, you know, when people have been exposed, like what their activities were, and when they need to get retested.
Okay.
So if people fall within that window period, we typically have them come back and retest, again, depending on when their risk exposure was, just to ensure that they are indeed negative. Thing that I really want people to know is that if you are in contact, indeed in contact, and exposed to HIV via someone who is positive, that does not automatically mean you are infected.
And that's really good to know.
Yes.
Because I think that still, you know, you'd think that we all know everything we need to know about it by now. Because, I mean, what year did HIV and AIDS first come to the public light?
Late 70s, early 80s.
Late 70s, early 80s. And it's, you know, 2018.
Right.
And there's still stuff that the public doesn't know. There's still misinformation that rolls around out there that people think they know. And it's amazing to me that we haven't cleared it all up. That's why I'm grateful for organizations like yours that can give me the facts. I don't feel silly asking you my dumb questions either. Oh, I don't know why. I feel very comfortable with you.
There are no stupid questions except the one you don't ask.
Okay, good. Because I don't know a lot about it. I know that I've been tested. I know that every time I get pregnant, I get tested.
Right.
You know, I know the whole process. So I've been through it. And I remember, even though I knew that I think I lived a fairly safe lifestyle, there was still a certain nerve-wracking attachment to it, and then an overwhelming relief when my test came back negative.
Right. Well, the reality is that anyone who is sexually active, practice sex without some kind of barrier, so without condoms, without, you know, any kind of barrier, potentially can run a risk for HIV infection.
Absolutely.
And, you know, sometimes a person's risk is not solely hingent on what they personally do or don't do, but it also is hingent on who they bring into their sexual space.
Lives. Yeah.
So,
and it's not just sex anymore at all.
Exactly. It's not just sex. We're also talking substance use stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're talking about folks that engage in, you know, using substances of any kind that could impair their judgment or, you know, what they typically would do.
Any substance.
Again, substances.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, when I say that, people tend to think of things like heroin and crack cocaine.
But it's not, because if you drink and you get drunk and make bad choices, then it all opens up a whole nother realm of possibilities
for you. Exactly. And that can include marijuana, but that can also include involuntary or coerced situations.
Yeah. When it comes to something like sexual assault.
Exactly.
Or if you step on a dirty needle.
Exactly.
You know, it could be anything.
Yeah. In that regard, yes. Because remember, there are very specific ways HIV transmits. So there's still a lot of people out here that believe that you can get it from kissing folks.
Nope.
That believe that you can get it from sitting on toilet seats or, you know, from shaking hands with people. And we know that there are only specific ways. You're either born with it. And fortunately for us, within the past like 13, 14 years here in Connecticut, we've only had one positive birth.
Really?
In all these years. So
I have to tell you, because they gave me a test at the beginning of my pregnancy, and then they give you another one right at the end just to make sure.
Well, that's presuming mom actually agrees to it.
Oh.
Because it is voluntary.
You can say no?
Yeah, I know, right? Oh. The things you learn.
I was like, I didn't think I could say no. I just said, yes, take the blood you need.
Yes.
At some points during my pregnancy, I was giving like 13 vials of blood. So I was like, all right.
May as well just do it.
Just throw that test in too. Yeah,
no. That's what most people do. That's what most women do. Like they, you know.
Oh, I'm mad. Why would you say no?
If you're just going ahead doing it, then go ahead. However, it is offered. It can be declined, just like any other, you know, medical procedure or test or whatever. And
they didn't tell me that. I don't think they should tell you that either. Just do it.
Well, you know, it is what it is. They're going to make whatever calls they make. But, you know, just so people are aware, that is something that can be declined. Most people don't decline it because they'd rather know than not know.
Yeah.
Particularly with a pregnancy on board. But the babies are automatically tested once they're born.
Now, let me ask you this. If you're just joining us today on Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH, we're talking to LaToya Tyson. She's the Associate Director of Prevention at AIDS Connecticut. And we're talking about AIDS and HIV. I feel like it's fallen out of the spotlight, and I'm glad you're here to make sure that everybody's getting a refresher course on prevention.
Sure.
And solutions.
Thank
because
you for having me.
Now, if you find out that a mother is HIV positive during pregnancy, mm-hmm. are there ways to prevent the transmission to a fetus?
Certainly. So one thing to know is that the human body is extremely resilient, and just on its own, without treatment, without knowing a status, there's about 25 to 30% chance mom will transmit the virus to her baby if she's positive.
Okay.
And that's without anything. So the body, just in and of itself, tries to keep the baby safe. So
there's an automatic immunity.
Exactly.
The attempt.
Exactly.
Okay.
That goes into place automatically. Once mom knows she's positive and she gets on treatment and she follows the regimen, that percentage drops down to one.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really impressive.
Yes. That's a huge dramatic change. And, you know, just to be on the safer side of things, cesarean sections are still recommended for
yeah.
positive moms because the transmission can happen either – transmission could potentially happen while she's pregnant, through the birth canal when she's giving birth, or afterward through the breast milk.
Yeah.
So there are still other, you know, actions that are taken even after that. But, so, yeah.
That it's so amazing to me, the things that I don't know about AIDS and HIV, and mm-hmm. it's been around for so long, and
right.
and we really and we need to have open dialogue about it, because it feels mm-hmm. like it's still a hushed conversation.
It is, especially
you know?
In certain communities and certain cultures. It's even more so. It's way more stigmatized. So having a platform like this, and I do appreciate you allowing me to be in your platform, but this is really important to make sure that everyone realizes that HIV does not affect just a certain type
yeah.
of person or a certain type of community. It literally affects everyone.
For someone who is a drug user, for someone who is having unprotected sex, to the housewife that doesn't know
exactly,
you know, mm-hmm. that her husband
yep.
is out and about, whatever.
Yep. To you the know, grandma that's gotten back out there and gotten a swing
yeah,
back.
Exactly. So, you know, you'd be surprised at the who's and the hows
oh, yes.
and the whys. And
yes.
it's no longer relegated to one population
exactly.
of the United States and
exactly.
one type of person. This is everywhere.
Exactly.
I mean, Charlie Sheen, we all know he's had unprotected, mm-hmm. very unsafe sex and drug use for a large portion of his life. Mm-hmm. And look how long it took him to come out and say something about it.
Right.
And now he's using the platform for good. So
there's
a lot going on. And right here in Connecticut, AIDS Connecticut is doing lots of great things. So if you are in need of medical case management, or if you are in transitional housing or you need housing support, medication, medical nutrition therapy. These are all things that you offer for someone who's out there, and as well as psychosocial support services.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if people out there who are not diagnosed are having a hard time mm-hmm. wrapping their heads around what's going on, imagine what happens once you get a diagnosis. Mm-hmm.
Especially newly diagnosed.
Yeah. You know, that's got to be a mind warp.
Yes.
So it's great that you provide those mental health services as well for people in the Hartford area. Now, you're out there and you're doing so much stuff with the substance abuse counseling and support groups. Tell us more about that.
So basically with our syringe exchange, you know, like I said, we see clients, daily. We have three stops, that we have here in Hartford. And then we also have, some time that we spend in Middletown. So we've developed a syringe exchange in Middletown.
Okay.
And when clients come to the van, they're able to get their clean needles. So it is an exchange. They bring us the dirty needles.
And explain to people why this is so important.
What, actually doing the syringe exchange?
Yes.
Because the truth of the matter is people are going to do what they're going to do regardless.
Yeah,
so the substance use, we're not promoting it. People are going to use.
Let's make that very clear.
Very clear. We're not promoting use at all. We've never promoted use. What we are promoting is that those that do use and choose to use, do so in a way that will keep not only themselves protected from contracting HIV and Hep C and other stuff, but that also protects other people that they may be using with.
It's a big picture.
Exactly.
Don't think so narrowly as that we're helping people do drugs. Nobody wants anybody to do drugs. But let's all be honest with ourselves at the same time. Drug addiction is
real.
Is real.
Yeah.
And it's a tough thing. And it happens in all walks of life.
Yes.
It happens in all communities. It's happening in your own backyard, whether you choose to
admit it or not.
Mm-hmm. But it's happening. Yes. And if we're going to help these people, we need to reduce the transmission of blood-borne pathogens.
Yes.
And that's the bottom line.
Exactly. And part of the reason that this is such an important part of what we do is since the inception of the Syringe Exchange here in Hartford, which has been running for over 20 years, there has been an 85% decrease in HIV infections.
85%?
Yes, in that particular community.
Community.
Yes.
Okay. That's really amazing.
Hep C, unfortunately, is still quite rampant. So we are working on that. So we do have collaborations with other agencies that do Hep C work and providers that do Hep C work and give treatment in order to get those folks into treatment for Hep C. But the HIV infection rate has decreased and declined astronomically.
That's really amazing. Mm-hmm. Now, you guys are doing you're doing distribution of safe sex materials. We've got prevention centers, ACT providing HIV counseling and testing and other sexually transmitted disease testing
Most definitely.
And you've got a lot of outreaches going on. I mean, there's so much stuff happening. And not only to add another thing to your list is the AIDS Life. This is legislative initiative and funding efforts.
Right.
Life. That's a campaign. It's Connecticut's only statewide group that focuses solely on the policy-related issues impacting people living with and at high risk for HIV and AIDS. So, you know, you're going to – I can't imagine what that's like because the legislature. So, I mean, it's tough. And it's tough right now, especially with budget crisis and money not, you know, being there for anything, you know, going out there and fighting the good fight because these are people's lives that we're talking about. This is life.
Right. We have very, very, very strong and very powerful advocates and lobbyists that work with us. Our deputy director, Sean Lang, is someone who's very, very well known. She goes all over the place and she talks with, you know, hobnobs with these legislators.
I've seen her face out there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She's out there, you know, trying to make sure that, you know, HIV is still being seen in their peripheral vision and in not just leaving it in the peripheral, but bringing it to the forefront. And we also have Kennard Ray, who is our public policy associate, who works with Sean. And they are extremely dedicated and committed to making sure that anytime they are at the Capitol, whenever bills are coming through, that they also include those things that affect people living with the virus. So not solely just, you know, funding for our agency and what we do, but all of the aspects that affect the community that we work with. So we're talking housing.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking, you know, yes, substance use, you know, the opioid crisis. We are talking about disparities in healthcare. So we're talking about a plethora of different issues that affect this community.
It's a big puzzle. And there's a lot of different pieces that make it up.
Most certainly.
And what we all think about top of mind is drug use, unsafe sex.
Right.
But there's much more to it. So much more to it. Talking about it, I'm telling you, and opening up and learning about it is the way we're going to beat this.
Exactly.
And it's 2018, people. We got to be able to talk about this and not whisper or be like, can you believe? Don't do it anymore. Talk about it out loud. Talk about safe sex with your kids. Talk about, talk about drugs and drug use and don't do drugs and prevention. And let's be honest, bottom line, talk to your kids because parents that have an open line of communication can be the prevention for future infections.
Right. And just a reminder, it's not just our youth.
Yeah.
Nationally, we have 25% of new HIV infections happening in our 61 and over population.
Because it is. Grandma out there getting her groove back.
Yes. And, you know, we're talking about a generation of folks that grew up very differently. That mm-hmm. era was very different about what they were concerned about and the things that they needed to be leery of, you know? Yeah. It was more pregnancy. So by this age, you know, you can't get pregnant anymore. You're like, I'm good.
Yep.
But, you know, we have people that are losing their spouses, whether by divorce or by death. We're talking about, you know, so they're getting back out into
the
dating
scene. So this is like adult, elderly home rates are...
Oh, the...
Yes.
The nursing homes.
Exactly.
The living, you know, spaces. Yeah.
These are places you still need to think about, too. It's not just kids.
Yes. Yes.
So it's so crazy, the world that we live in and the things that we think we know and the things that we don't have any idea about. You know what I mean?
Or that you just don't want to think about. Because no one...
That doesn't make it go away, though, right?
Exactly. It doesn't. And... But when you think of it from that perspective, most people don't want to think about grandma or grandpa
Nobody
having
does.
Sex.
No, like, I want to stop, you know, right now.
Right. The youth don't want to think about their parents being sexually active. It's one of those, you know, it's still a taboo issue. So when we're talking about HIV and the different components that make up why HIV is important.
That's part of
those are part of the issue because those are subjects that typically – people tend to shy away from, whether it's because of how they were raised, you know, or what have you.
It makes you uncomfortable. I mean,
very. Yes.
So it may not be
in my house.
It may not be the dinner conversation from everybody, but it's a conversation that
needs
real
to happen.
This is real life, people.
Yes.
This is real life, and these are real lives we're talking about. So
exactly.
It's okay to have the conversation.
Exactly.
So if somebody is out there and we want to talk about making sure that people get tested, if they are, and this is whether or not you think you're living a high risk lifestyle or not. Mm-hmm. You have an HIV status. We opened up with it. It's either negative or positive. Do you know what yours is?
Exactly.
So let's get everybody out there and get tested. Can we send people in a direction
Most
for testing?
Certainly.
Let's
so
do it.
We definitely do testing. We do testing 5 days a week. We do work also in non-traditional hours. So, you know, when people are interested in coming like after work or anything like that, they just have to call us and, you know, we can make arrangements to do that.
Okay.
But our address is 110 Bartholomew Avenue in Hartford. And we are able to do testing mobily as well when it's available. So because we do have the vans, we can also go outside for people that are actually homebound.
Okay.
And we are able to do testing like that as well.
And if anybody's looking for this kind of information, they can go to the AIDS-CT.org website and find out most of this information.
Most certainly.
Because there really is. I just, you know, as I talk to you, I peek over at the website and I learn new things about you guys. And it's so much. There's so much going on out there. And, you know, we say it about everything. You know, this is 2018. This is something we should be better at by now. And we're getting better, and there's successes out there. But we need people to know more and be more open to talking about it and making the conversation real, because this is real, like real.
Right. And, you know, I really try to encourage folks not just to have these conversations within their silos of home, but to really think about making this part of their sexual activity. You know, we all get ready for sexual activity or substance use activity in one way or another, whether it's, you know, going to pick up the drugs and or the needles or whatever, whether it's, you know, putting on sexy underwear and, you know, getting
dressed up for
up.
A night out.
Right. We prepare for these activities. This should be part of that equation, not something that we think of in hindsight.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when people really get comfortable with talking to their partners or potential partners about STI, about HIV status, actually asking them direct questions about this status, asking them directly about getting tested, showing them actual results. Those things should
honestly,
hopefully,
it's a good basis for a good relationship.
Yes, and it should become standard. That should become the norm. That's
your favorite
what we're looking
color,
for.
What's your favorite food, and what's your HIV status.
Amen.
Thank you so much for coming in. Connecticut is doing pretty good. Our rates are going in the right direction. They can always be better. Everybody, you know, learn more, do better.
Most certainly.
Thank you so much, LaToya Tyson, Associate Director of Prevention from AIDS Connecticut. Thanks so much for hanging out with me today.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you guys so much for tuning in this morning to Spotlight on Light 100.5 WRCH.